going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Michael Fiddles here, Action Network colleague. We are going to talk about just ranking every single NBA team because we're a month out from the playoffs. And this is a part of the year, Mike, where a lot of people get pissed off at the NBA. We're seeing a lot of different discussions on a day-to-day basis in terms of how pissed off they are at the NBA. We're not pissed off about the NBA, but there are things in terms of, because this part of the schedule is where the injury reports get a little wonky, guys start getting shelved. So we're not going to spend all this time talking about all 30 teams, because there'll be some teams that we just grab and we're like, all right, we don't care. But we're going to run some tier maker. I'm going to pull that up in a second. Mike, first, your opening thoughts on what we're about to do, how we feeling, how's the season going, how's everything going with you? And you're on mute. This is awesome.
Season's going great. Happy to be here, Brian. You know what I'm really excited for is having a chance to just talk some ball and not have a super gambling-centric conversation, because the bulk of what I do is just high-level gambling stuff. And so it's nice, because in the basketball gambling world, I don't bet my own basketball opinions, but here we could just, you know, talk some ball and talk shop and hash those opinions out and see where we stand. Everything I do in the gambling space is like math, modeling, probability estimating, like all of those things, market trending and all those other angles. So I don't really ever talk, even on my own show, about like what I truly think of each one of these teams. So why are people getting annoyed at the NBA right now? Just because the injury stuff?
Injury stuff. And then just, I mean, look, Shaq not knowing anything about the Pistons doesn't help. So people are annoyed at Shaq. People are annoyed at Stephen A. Smith because of the confrontation with LeBron James. People are just annoyed at the league because they keep complaining about ratings when the ratings are they're fine. And I'm at the point now where, like, you know how people call the dog days of the season January? To me, we're getting to that point now, because now I'm watching like Cleveland play at such a high level. I'm watching Boston and OKC last night, and I'm like, God, I want to get to the playoffs already. Like, let's just go. Like, let's really get into these series. Let's pull up tier maker now. Why waste time? Set this up last night, and here we go. All right, so we have tier one. We have legit contenders. We have an idea of who's going to be there, but we're going to talk through it. Legit sleepers. Sleeper meaning you can win a title. You're probably not going to, but if certain things break right, you could at least go on a deep run like the Pacers did last year. Whatever the case may be, although before the playoffs, admittedly, I wouldn't have called them a legit sleeper. if everyone is injured, maybe. So this is just like, listen, you need all the luck in the world.
That's my favorite category. I think we might have a different scope on that category, which will be fun to talk about.
That's fun. Yeah, that's fun. There'll probably be some things that like you overrule me. I may have a couple of rulings myself that I may
take. It's your show. I don't think I'm overruling you on anything. You got the buttons. You can drag those teams wherever you want. I'm going to say make this first. Make the Hawks a legit contender. You're going to slide them straight to who gives a shit.
Fun teams, but not contenders. So example, possibly the Detroit Pistons, but we'll talk about them. End of the road, meaning, I mean, to me, that category, Fiddle, is basically like you're blowing it up after the season. It's over. There's one team specifically that's definitely going to be there. The others we'll see. There's probably a couple that should be there. And then who cares? It's just who cares? You know, just your bottom feeders, your irrelevant, your uninteresting NBA teams. Fiddle, how do you want to start this? I'll toss it to you first.
Can we actually start at the bottom and just knock off a whole host of who cares teams? Can we just eliminate? All right, I'm going to call them out.
Yes.
Let me know if you disagree with any of these.
Sure.
Hawks, who cares?
Hawks, like, who cares?
They might make the play-in. Then they're going to have to deal with a Cavs or Boston in round one type of situation. Like, who cares? Nets, who cares? Hornets, who cares?
Yeah.
Mavericks, will leave there for now.
Chicago, yeah, I was going to say, let's let them rock. Chicago's habitually a who cares team.
Miami, I almost want to put in who cares, but worth a discussion.
We'll save that for now. Yeah.
Portland, who cares?
Portland. Portland's kind of fun, but yeah, they're in that. I mean, can we talk out Portland, actually? Hold on.
Sure.
Let's remove Portland. Yeah, you can be other.
Spurs, who cares? We could talk about it. Just know I don't actually care. Spurs, who cares?
Because Wemby's hurt. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, and we know what they did. They made the Fox trade. This season is where they're going to be set up for next season with a similar shell of a team. Yes. Hopefully they get a good draft pick. Maybe it becomes interesting in the offseason. But for now, who cares? Raptors, who cares? Similar scope with Ingram and whatnot. Jazz, who cares?
Where's the Raptors logo? Oh, here it is. I'm like, what? Jazz, obviously. They just got fined $100K for an injury report situation.
And then proceeded to play Lowry Marketing the very next night. Wizards, who cares? Which means to show you the fine was justified because Lowry was fine.
Exactly. This is 8 who cares teams. We do have a couple comments here. Diego checking in, a friend of the show. Diego says, OKC, Boston, Cavs, first tier, Raptors, and Wiz, who cares? We will get to that first tier, but I mean, I have a feeling those three teams are going to be there. We'll talk about that. Do we have any other obvious who cares teams? The Pelicans? Are they a who cares team for you?
They might be an end of the road team.
Yeah, we'll save that. Okay. Let's talk out Portland real quick. Not how I thought we were going to start this, but they're kind of fun. Like, Tumani Kamara's pretty fun. Scoo Henderson's figuring some things out. I don't think the team is going to be amazing next year, but given the trajectory of a couple other teams, I don't want to spoil a couple end of the road teams, but there's a couple end of the road teams ahead of them, or no, one's ahead of them and another behind them in the Western Conference that I think, like, I don't know what direction they're going to go in. Portland's kind of fun. Shaedon Sharpe, Scoo Henderson, Tumani Kamara. We'll see what Donovan Clingan could be. I don't know, but they're kind of fun to me this year, surprisingly, actually. What do you think?
Yeah, they could go end of the road in a sense if you're like, this is the end of Chauncey Billups' run in Portland, but that was kind of what was assumed all season until they had a great January and start to February. They've kind of faded off recently, the Portland Trailblazers, so we'll see if that like 6 to 8 week stretch kind of saves Chauncey's job. He's on the last year of his contract, so he's what they call a lame duck coach. So that could be a end of the road for him. It could also be a fun but not contenders, because they are fun to watch. It is fun to see Scoot develop. It is fun to see Shaedon Sharpe and Simons actually play really well down clutch situations. They're both some of the best clutch players and clutch scorers in points per shot in the NBA. And then they do have a plethora of bigs that could get interesting for trade deadline stuff. Like, you know, do they get, not trade deadline, for offseason trading? Do they get rid of Robert Williams and bring in a pick? Do they get rid of Ayton and bring in someone? And then more feature Kling in. So it's like they have options. Do they trade Jeremy Grant for 2 first-round picks to a team that wants to contend next year. So they have like ways that they can go, but I don't think that they're leaving. Like they're probably not a playoff team or even a play-in team also next year, right? They're probably 2 years away from even being at the bottom of a playoff play-in scenario. So for me, they're more or less, who cares?
I will give you that one because it's Portland at the end of the day. I don't know how much I trust their organization, but they do have some interesting young pieces. But for now, for this season, who cares? I think this is our who cares tier. I'm not sure I would throw anybody else into this category. There are some more damning ones that we can get to, but I think end of the road is interesting because like this one's a little more debatable. Let's get to this one now. End of the road for you. You mentioned the Pelicans. We're going to throw them in there. I feel like it has to be, right? Like,
yes. CJ, they just got rid of BI.
Yes.
CJ McCollum is always available.
Yes.
The only reason he's not available is because the league will not allow trades currently. But yes, otherwise, you can give us a call. CJ, we'll answer the phone for CJ. Zion, they were flirting with trading him even to Portland in the draft pick that became Scoot Henderson. Now, Zion started to play really well. So it's like, and he's the one saying, I'm healthy enough to play back-to-backs. I think New Orleans goes another full season with Zion and gives it one more chance.
I think so.
But DeJounte Murray coming off of an Achilles, it's tough sledding for that team. Like, Trey Murphy's amazing. Herb Jones already done for the season. So
yeah,
I wonder if this is a end of the road for Willie Green type of season. And then I'd look at, you know, the CJ, BI, DeJounte, Zion pairing that we were envisioning for this team that completely blew up this year because they were never healthy at the same time. I don't ever think we really see it.
Misi's interesting. Herb Jones, hopefully he can get back healthy. Only played 20 games this year, which is very unfortunate. I don't know if Jose Alvarado is a long-term piece there. I think he is going to be a useful role player, but probably somewhere else.
Yep.
Jordan Hawkins, I don't really know what to make of his development. I expect a little bit more this year. He's very wildly inefficient this year. There's just a lot going on. I think the one revelation, though, it's like, oh, Trey Murphy, I mean, could you build an offense around him?
Best player on the team.
Best player on the team. 1,000% agree. They're going to need to shake things up in a pretty dramatic way over the next year and change. I do wonder, because you mentioned Zion, you think that they run it back one more year. And look, contractually, it makes sense because his contract does have outs.
Yep.
He does have some trade value, but I feel like you may want to rebuild some of it. It wouldn't shock me, though, if this summer we continue hearing a bunch of Zion noise. I just don't know I don't even know what that looks like. Does a team overpay for him, or does he quietly get moved for not pennies on the dollar, but some equivalent to that is what I wonder.
Yeah. A Joel Embiid for a Zion trade. I'm joking, but to get off that Embiid contract, like I had you for a second there. I don't think New Orleans trades Zion. I think they hold Zion because they, like, if you looked at their win total before the season, like, they were projected to be an above 500 team, right? Like, they were kind of priced as this team might be sneaky dangerous, even though, like, they didn't have a center at the time. And it was like, how are they going to fill out the roster? But they have a bunch of talent, so maybe the talent can float them for a little bit. It never came through for them. So I do think they start next season, like, thinking, let's try and be back-end playoff play-in team, and let's try and be an above 500. If they're not, if they're floating and they're like the Spurs next season, Zion will be traded at the deadline. So that's why they're end of the road. I don't think we're going to see Zion play in a playoffs for the Pelicans.
Comments, questions, super chats are welcome. Don't forget to like and subscribe if you're watching this. And we do this basically every week on here. Okay. You broke my brain with the Zion for Joel Embiid one. I've been thinking about that trade since you said it.
Trash is another man's treasure.
Who says no? Probably Philly, right?
Philly.
Yeah. But like, would you rather have Zion? I think I'd rather have Zion's contract.
Oh, for sure. That's undebatable at this point. No, I'm still a believer in Joe. He is so good at basketball. Like, and he's had so many freak fluke injuries in the playoffs at the worst moments.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hold out hope that this was a disaster season. I'm even going to hold out hope on Paul George that I'm going to, you know, if everyone isn't injured, maybe. Can we make that a category for the 76ers? Can we put them in the if everyone is injured, maybe, but we'll consider them if everyone isn't injured, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. But you know what? I think Philly is also low-key kind of an end-of-the-road team.
That's fair, yeah.
On this tier, and I'm going to put them there because even if Joel Embiid's healthy, he's not going to be. But even if he's healthy, I still don't know what that looks like. They've been a second round team at best with them healthy. Their roster construction I thought was better this year, but guys got hurt and it was kind of predictable in hindsight, at least from a Joel Embiid sense. And with even Paul George dropping off the way he did, I feel like age, there were signs. And then you think about this, like, man, like generations ago, it feels like, but Paul George was taking LeBron James to game seven, taking the Heat to game seven in the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, that was over 10 years ago. Like, it's very hard to sustainably be like one of the best two-way players in the league. So that drop-off it shouldn't have been that like unforeseen, I guess, in hindsight. I have one more end of the road team. The specific team that I thought of when making this category, that is the Phoenix Suns. I think they have to be here. I think they absolutely have to be here. Even though they're technically like still in the playoff mix, whereas Philly has dropped out, New Orleans has dropped out. Phoenix has to be here, don't they?
Yep. I call them the Phoenix Buns. I give like a little whenever I want to bet on
New Yorker. I appreciate that
because I bet on them way too often. Now I'll be honest.
I bet against
because I'm a market reader, and yeah. So I just make a joke every time I'm betting. Like it's like an infomercial. Like, do you want to gain CLV and ultimately lose a bet? Let me introduce you to the Phoenix Suns. They're the most frustrating team. They're not even fun to watch. It's tough sledding for them. The whole system has not worked out. Frank Vogel to Budenholzer did not do any sort of improvement for that team. So they're really just stuck in the mud. They're rumored to trade Kevin Durant being like a sure thing at the end of the season. They're now getting word that Devin Booker, they'd want 3 to 4 first round picks and yeah. a young asset. Mm-hmm. Whenever you got these rumors coming out, like already price gauging and valuing your superstars, that's when you're nearing the end of the road, Brian. So I think they're obviously there, but I have like at least one other end of the road team for sure.
Okay.
I would say two more.
Let's see if we overlap here. Diego has one suggestion that I'm open to. Fiddle, give me your end of the road team.
You want the East one or the West one?
East first.
Miami Heat.
Oh. Okay. End of the road in what sense?
That they will not get further than where they are now. They've been there before. They got rid of Jimmy. So now this version of the Heat is either going to go into slight rebuild and kind of wait and see if we can get Kevin Durant from the Phoenix Suns this summer to be the last piece that brings us over the hump. But for this iteration of the Miami Heat, we're not going to see them be dangerous like we have. We're not going to see them be sleeper contender. We're not going to see them if everyone is injured, maybe. We're not going to see them anywhere close to that unless they bring in another star to South Beach and they lure them. And Brian, can I give you the best take in the history of sports? Have I explained to you how I figured out why Heat culture exists? Oh, I know why.
We talked about it out. Off air, yes, but this you should say this on air, yes.
Think about where the Miami Heat G League team is located. Now, the Santa Cruz Warriors are pretty close to, you know, Golden State. They're in a great place to live. The Long Island Nets have a beautiful facility. The Westchester Knicks still live in New York and get a lot of those benefits of being in the limelight with all the rest of the Knicks. The Miami Heat's G League team is in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Which I don't know why is that.
I know why. Because then you ask the players who are fringe NBA players, where would you rather be? In Miami? At the Miami Heat private practice facility with private chefs, private planes, no state income tax, all the baddies in the world? Or would you rather be on coach buses going around Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and trying to grind your way back into the league? That's why Haywood Highsmith. That's why Hassan Whiteside. That's why these fringe guys who go to Miami stay in the league, because once they get sent to the G League team and they're cruising around Sioux Falls and you realize how different it is than South Beach, you don't want to go to the club. The club will be waiting for you in the offseason. So how come none of the Miami Heat players get in trouble? Because they found the guys that are fringe NBA players that they can develop with Heat culture by, you know, the tipping scale of what it's like to live in Miami on an NBA contract or in Sioux Falls, South Dakota on a G League contract. And I apologize to anyone listening who might be in Sioux Falls.
I forget that.
Not interested in visiting.
I forgot that Hassan Whiteside was actually there for a stint. Before the Heat eventually, or he might have already been with the Heat actually, seven games in 2012, 2013, and another one later on, just as a rehab assignment, so to speak. I agree with this ultimately, because I do think the plan, quote unquote, is just do whatever they can this year and then try to get Kevin Durant, which I think has been like a 10-year pursuit, but I think they'll be able to do it just because. I mean, they'll be able to be competitive. Like, they'll field a competitive offer. Or they'll give a competitive offer. I don't know if they'll ultimately be, like, the team, because there's some buzz about Houston, who we'll get to later. But I agree. Miami should be an end-of-the-road team. The Western Conference team, I feel like this has to be the Kings or the Clippers.
It's the Kings.
Yes,
for
sure. I agree. I don't think we need to.
They just got rid of Fox, and now Sabonis is questioning the direction of the franchise, and they fired Mike Brown, and they brought in Doug Christie. Is he going to stay? Is he an interim coach? Like,
Zach LaVine,
a lot up in the air. Yeah, exactly. So yeah. End of the road for that iteration of Light the Beam squad. That was a very fun squad.
I think everyone else here could advance. Everyone else here, we will say mostly positive things about, I think.
It is so much fun to just talk basketball without where the spreads are and where win totals are and where these totals are and if the market's moving in a certain direction. I could just be like, yeah, Sabonis wants out of the Kings. End of the road. Let's move on. This is great.
Yeah. All right. Fun teams, but not contenders. This is Pistons easy for me. They're
here. Oh, they're the staple of this group.
Yeah, they're the face of this group. The Detroit Pistons are very, very fun. Malik Beasley having a resurgence is a lot of fun. Jalen Duren, after he struggled in the beginning of the year, sort of figuring things out. Now I feel like he looks better on a little more consistent basis. Isaiah Stewart, people think that all he does is fight, but he is actually quietly one of the most productive defensive players in the league who can switch, hit an occasional three. Cade Cunningham, that dude is going to be a perennial all-star in a league where it's hard to do that as a backcourt player, as a guard. But Cade Cunningham is really, really good. And I think Detroit has something. I just don't think it's like this year. It's probably going to be a first round exit where they win a game or two. It's fun. It's competitive. And this is like a step into, okay, maybe they take another leap forward. Jaden Ivey, hopefully he comes back from injury also. Like, that's a big thing for me. And I'm telling Knicks fans that be careful with Detroit in the first round. The Knicks will win that series, I think, but Detroit can push that to six and make it a little uncomfortable before the Knicks eventually have to face likely the Celtics in round two.
Who's better right now, Brian? Cade Cunningham or Tyrese Halliburton?
Wow. I want to say Tyrese Halliburton, but I feel like I trust Cade Cunningham more. Like, from a consistency standpoint.
Yeah.
And I appreciate Tyrese Halliburton's playmaking, real point guard stand up, but like Cade Cunningham, I think he's gonna be better. He's gonna be overall better.
What about Ja Morant
or Cade?
Either of those.
Ja is probably last to me, honestly.
At this point, he's with the shoulder stuff and how bad his shooting percentages have been recently. Like, he's not like. Scottie Pippen's playing, Junior's playing just as well. The reason why I bring those two teams up, because obviously Detroit is the staple category of fun teams but not contenders. You see it the way Detroit's still making roster moves around it. Like, they're still absorbing contracts and bringing in picks. They're still collecting assets before they make their push. So they're a fun team. They've announced themselves as actually not a contender, but I think Pacers and Memphis should join them here. Those would be the pitch of fun teams but not contenders. To join. That's why I brought up Tyrese, and that's why I brought up Ja Morant, because I think they're very similar in vein in terms of and in style, but I also just I don't see either of those two teams getting anywhere this season.
Is Dallas in this category? I mean, they're not healthy. But I can't see Dallas can't be an end of the road team for me.
No, because they're going to run it back with what they have.
Yeah.
In fact, they're going to try and get Kevin Durant too. And try and listen to this one, Brian. What if the Mavericks get Kevin Durant? And they have you know, what draft asset? We'll see. Draft asset, some young guys. I don't know exactly what
I got.
What if they can pull it off, right? And you have Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis kind of lifting that team for the first half of the season, and maybe Kyrie is that last piece that comes and joins them around the All-Star break next season if he's a full year recovered from his ACL. And then you get the situation, Brian, where Kevin Durant is in Dallas trying to win a title with Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis, who have won titles with LeBron James, and Klay Thompson, who has won all the titles with Steph Curry. And Kevin Durant tries to take those guys and have a KD-led title with flanked by all the compadres of Steph and LeBron over the last few years.
The problem is you might need Klay Thompson's contract. It's difficult to pull off the trade without Kyrie or without Anthony Davis, which you're not doing that anyway.
Yep.
Just financially, because Klay is at $15 million. KD is at like almost 50. in terms of like how much he makes annually. I'm gonna pull up the actual numbers, but I know it's hovering $50 million. But Klay Thompson is at $15 million this year, $16.6 million next year.
Lively's contract's still so cheap as a rookie that it's hard to salary match around him.
So KD is going to be at $54.7 million next year. $51 million this year. Klay Thompson's in the teens. PJ Washington's at $14 million. He's on the last year of his deal next year. He'd still be under contract, so you wouldn't even have to do that. And if you're Dallas and you'd be theoretically getting KD back, you're not going to extend PJ Washington anyway, so who cares? Daniel Gafford's going to be at 14.3. I would think they're more likely to re-sign him than PJ Washington anyway, but I don't know that. I don't know how they want to build this team exactly. Is Anthony Davis going to be at the 5 or the 4? I guess the 4. Four. Caleb Martin's got $9.5 million you could play with next year, 9.1 now. Najee Marshall's got 9. Like, there are contracts you can kind of put together, but I feel like you're still going to need a third team, like a facilitator.
Rumored, like, when all the KD stuff with Houston and Miami, like, Mavericks were in those rumors, too, when people started reporting it. So that just got the wheel spinning for me of thinking, like, you know, they're probably in the Kevin Durant sweepstakes. For me, the Mavericks are currently who cares. It's like they need the category of a...
I agree.
I care for the purpose of hating on them. Like, it's a hate watch kind of thing at this point.
If the Mavs were healthy, they would be a legit sleeper for me.
Or a legit contender.
Yeah, one or the other. If they were healthy. But they're a who cares team because they just have all these injuries. And there's no incentive at this point to rush guys back because they're falling behind in a bad way. What do we do with the Clippers?
Legit sleeper.
Okay, so we're going to wait. That's interesting.
What do you have them as?
If everyone is injured, maybe.
Well, aren't the Clippers the team that everyone will be injured on? Haven't we learned that lesson for the last 5 years?
Yeah. The reason I ask is because fun teams but not contenders, Clippers don't qualify. Let's fill out this tier first. I don't know if anyone else is
there's fun. Some teams that are I think are just below the stage of contenders, and maybe that's just that if everyone is injured, maybe. But I would struggle to call the Magic fun.
Me too. They're also hurt. I think they're fun in terms of they're young, their arrows pointing up organizationally.
Yes.
Even though last year this is a drop off from last year, but it's largely due to injuries, and then Paolo Banchero. Like, you want to see him impact winning a little bit more. Or maybe a lot of it more.
You're a New York and like Knicks centric guy. I compared Paolo to a blend between Carmelo and Amari.
Wow. All right. You know what? I could see that. I mean, it's better than the people on Twitter who are comparing him to LeBron James, which is ridiculous. Geez.
You know what? You've convinced me that Magic can be fun, especially in the playoffs. Like when they played against Cleveland last year, their play style is one of those that's not fun in the regular season because there's so many other games that you can go watch and flip on the Warriors with their motion offense doing it. But when you're watching the playoffs and it's fucking physical and gritty, like the Magic team is fun with their like their lengthy defense and like the switching Jonathan Isaac onto everything and like what they're it actually does be they get in scrap. So it is kind of fun. They're very, very physical in the toughest games, which can be entertaining to watch. And you make good points that like the overall organization direction and like this, even Jamal Mosley as a second year emerging coach is exciting to watch his X's and O's play out in some situations, which has been underwhelming, but you could consider it fun to see it play it out and evaluate it.
Diego says he likes that. Comments also PJ Clay, Najee and filler for Kevin Durant as the Mavs deal. PJ Clay, Najee and filler.
That's not getting it done for Kevin Durant.
Maybe not.
No, Miami's got something better for you.
That I really think they might get him. I just don't know. That's another conversation.
Send him back to OKC.
I mean, that'd be fun. With Orlando, too, it's like you're just a young team also. Like, Jalen Suggs was legitimately a DPOY contender for me last year until, like, well, a DPOY contender. Until you factor in just like he's a guard and they're never going to give it to a guard.
We need a perimeter. Did you hear Jalen Brown earlier this season say we need a perimeter oriented DPOY?
Yes.
We need that. We also need like screw the most improved player. Let's do it all. Let's do it all in teams. Let's do most improved starting like all NBA most improved would be so much more fun than just listing one. Why only give it to Cade? Why not make Cade the point guard and Norm Powell the small forward and give them both a little bit of an honor, right?
I agree. I think or just the other answer is take guards more seriously for defensive player of the year. The first
line of attack is incredibly important. I'm still a believer that rim protection is truly what you need in the league. It's like a quarterback in the NFL to MVP what DPOY is to a rim protector.
To me, the only thing is like a league that's so perimeter centric now in terms of it's threes and getting to the rim, but I think the perimeter defense, like the metrics need to do a better job of capturing just what guys on the perimeter do. And I don't feel like it's caught up to that yet, which is why Jalen Suggs is not being also, this year won't happen, but
still. Also Marcus Smart winning that award most recently screws it for everyone else.
Yeah.
Cause in hindsight, that was a terrible one. Right.
And so, I love the fact that a guard got it.
Sure. But that wasn't the right example for it. And maybe we should split the difference where it should actually be. And I'm not saying like this is the guy who should win it, but maybe it's the Lu Dort type of player that can play inside out, that could match up on best player every night. That's not like necessarily where he's playing on the floor, but how many different places that you can place him in the floor and still get an elite defender.
Yeah. Versatility for me matters for that award. That's why I think Bam should have one or two. Okay. Are we done with the fun teams but not contenders category?
I mean, the Wolves are not a contender at all.
Are they in? Is Anthony Edwards good enough to give you the Wolves as, if everyone is injured, maybe team? Because I don't think they're an end of the road team. I don't know if I'd call them fun. I think Ant's fun. I think elements of their team are fun. If you wanted to say they're fun, sure. I don't think Rudy Gobert is fun at all. And he's good, but he's not fun.
That one's tough. That one's tough.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why my Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
To thread the needle of Minnesota, where we put them.
Yeah, Minnesota's a tough team to categorize. I kind of think...
if everyone... they could be the start of the if everyone is injured maybe tier, because... listen, I'm of the opinion that legit sleepers and if everyone is injured maybe are almost one in the same, right? Because like if SGA gets injured and it's a Timberwolves versus Thunder series, it's basically a coin flip.
I'm gonna say the Wolves are, and if everyone is injured maybe team.
Yeah.
Because yeah, to me that's a cut below legit sleeper.
Right. I'm just saying you become a sleeper to move forward if you just face the lucky injury, right? Like the Knicks were up 2-0 last season, and then OG Brunson, the whole team goes out. Mitchell Robinson, like the whole team is done. Julius was out, like literally everyone, and the Pacers come back and storm and beat them, you know, by winning 4 out of the next 5 or whatever.
The Wolves are still top 10 defense, top 10 net rating, almost a top 10 offense. And Anthony Edwards, the three-point shooting, while people have had their complaints, he's making a ton of them.
It's amazing. Stop complaining about it, people.
He's like, making 4 a game. Get a tree. He's shooting 10 a game, but he's making 40%. So I can't complain.
If you're making 40% and shooting 10 a game, you should probably shoot 14 a game.
Yeah, that's what the numbers will tell you. Half of the shots are coming from three, but I feel like it's made him more effective as a scorer. I don't think the Julius Randle piece is a long-term thing, no. And he's a historically bad playoff performer to this point. I do think because of Anthony Edwards, like you could overcome that a little bit in the postseason this year. So I would say, yeah, like, and if everyone's injured, maybe just clear it up with Minnesota. This is like LeBron doesn't come back, Luka never rounds into shape, Oklahoma City loses, like, you know, Chet and J-Dub or whatever.
J-Dub's already no timetable expected, but not supposed to be that serious. But right now, as we're recording, there's no timetable for his hip. But like all of these teams at the same way as everyone is injured maybe, and they could step up. All of the great teams that we put in legit contenders are one injury away from being not really a legit contender anymore, right? Like if SGA, Tatum, LeBron, Jokic are not there, or Donovan Mitchell are not there, none of those teams are winning, right? And like the Bucks with Giannis have a much greater chance to knock them off.
Unique circumstances, but we saw this play out in the 2021 playoffs.
We see it play out every year in some sort of capacity. So that's always why I don't, in the betting space, I don't really bet futures. I don't like to tie up the money. I like to churn my bankroll and bet it game to game while the information's known, because you could have a great ticket that just gets completely blown up by, oh, Wembanyama's -3,000 for Defensive Player of the Year. He's participating in the All-Star game. He's not going to play a game for the rest of the season.
My Dallas Mavericks over win total for the season.
Had one of those too, my friend.
Hornets also. We were. I'll never forget the 7-8 start or whatever it was. And then LaMelo Ball was like, bye, see ya. And then they never recovered. And then everyone else got hurt. Brandon Miller and Mark Williams' medicals and all this shit. Do we have another if everyone is injured maybe team? I mean, where is Houston? Is Houston fun but not contenders? Or if everyone's injured maybe? I don't think they're a legit sleeper.
No, they're definitely not. They thread the needle between 3 and 4 if everyone is injured maybe, and fun team but not contender. I don't see them. They just don't have your number one option, right? Like, unless Jalen Green goes nuclear. Because I don't even think it's that Sengun's the type of player that needs to run through. Mm-hmm. It would need Jalen Green to just start going nuclear, and he's historically incredibly inefficient. So, fun team, but not contender, I think, unless they get incredibly lucky on some injury stuff breaking their way, which that's the type of team, though, where you play them physical in a 4-7 game series, you might sustain an injury just because of how much they beat you up.
Yeah, and look, Amen Thompson's out for a little bit now. It's not going to be long-term. He'll hopefully be back this month. Fred VanVleet's been very, like, I was going to say in and out, but he's been mostly out since February 1st. Only played, I think, two games since. So there's just a lot there. I think they're fun, and we could all sort of agree they've overachieved this year. Now it's just a matter of, and I love the fact that they didn't do much at the trade deadline. It's like, all right, let's see how far this can go and then take a step forward next year. I think they have the right idea about how they're building this out. I don't know if it's Kevin Durant. I don't really think you need that, but I do think, like, go get a piece. You know, Kevin Durant, I probably want somebody younger on the Rockets team, somebody that more matches the timeline. I don't know if Jalen Green is there long term. He's had some moments, but I think Houston's really, like, their defense has been super impressive to me. I think Amen Thompson is going to be a legitimate, like, he could be an all-star. Like, I don't know if it's going to be next year, but he could be very soon. I think Houston's going to be good, but they're
I think they're Houston not has the pieces to make the Durant trade, right?
I agree.
So if they organize, like, if you just flip Jabari Smith for, and you're like, all right, he's been a little bit disappointing in his development. He hasn't popped like we think he's going to. So if you include Jabari Smith as the main piece in a Kevin Durant trade, Jabari Smith and assets, so you get one like high potential player and a series of draft assets to recoup. Like that's where you're looking if you're Phoenix, and seeing what else in the market comes available. But Houston seems like they're going to be in because Ime and KD are close. Sure. Ime was an assistant for the Nets when Durant was there, so that's that they've worked together. Ime was an assistant coach to Kevin Durant. They're very I don't know if how close they've stayed. They were very close for those years. So that's the connection there. And Ime's going to probably want to get his guy because he wants to press the gas pedal on this stuff, but we'll see. And they have the pieces. So
they have the money too. They have the money
too. The teams that we have left right now are wildly exciting.
Yes. Fred VanVleet, by the way, $44 million next year, team option. Houston could easily just take that and flip him. If they
right.
If they
so what if it's what if he's the contract matcher? Right. Jabari Smith is the talent. So it's VanVleet, Jabari Smith, and then you could even go back to Booker and you resell him. Hey, we got a championship and former all-star point guard. We have a top three draft pick in Jabari Smith, and we would just recoup assets. We have a chance to be a playoff team, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Then Jalen Green, $33 million. Like him and Fred VanVleet would be 77. So you'd have to get back more than just Kevin Durant at that point. Dylan Brooks is 21. I feel like he could be dangled out there, although I've kind of liked what I've seen from him.
It's been phenomenal.
Yeah, like I've enjoyed him in fantasy a ton. Like I picked him up on waivers very early in the year thinking, all right, we'll see how long this lasts. And no, he's mostly been good. All right, so we're down to 9 teams. Do we have another if everyone is injured maybe team here? Or is everyone else just legit sleeper, legit contender?
It depends how you feel about Golden State.
And the Clippers. I think Golden State's a legitimate sleeper.
I think the Clippers, and I would flip that, and I would say I think the Clippers are. So that's it. There we go. That's why maybe we put them in both legit sleepers.
I agree. All right, I'm open to that.
We'll be nicer to them instead of being more rude to them. We'll put them on the higher tier that one of us considers instead of the lower tier.
Give me the case for the Clippers being a legit sleeper.
Fantastic coach who has specifically proven chops in playoff matches where he's making a series adjustments. Right, he started some series slow, but he's the best at making mid-series adjustments. Ty Lue is integral to it. They also don't sleep on adding Jeff Van Gundy to the staff. He's been incredible for the Clippers. You bring in
that is true.
James Harden. You return Kawhi Leonard. Have you seen Kawhi's minutes recently? Playing 40 minutes on some nights.
Yeah,
he's averaging 38.7 minutes, something like that, over his last like 5-10 games. He's the playoffs, there's not going to be any back-to-backs.
I was going to say
that. It doesn't seem... I'm going to make my dog go nuts. It doesn't seem like he sustained any setbacks. So if he's ready to go on every other or every third night during the playoffs, the way that that defense has been, the way that they've played in half-court sets, the way that they've slowed down the pace, they have been like what are they? One of the top two or three defensive teams for the bulk of the year. The way Norm Powell and Zubac are playing, like this team is good. They have depth around it. I loved the trade deadline acquisition of Bogey Bogdanovic. I think getting Bog is a great bench scorer for them. So I think they have all of the pieces, like some bench scoring, some bench playmaking, some star power, some interior, some perimeter, some defensive looks, shooting, the combos of Amir Coffey, Norm Powell, Batum, Derek Jones Jr. They have a Kawhi. They have so many plethora of wings that if they get hot shooting, like imagine if Derek Jones Jr. does what he did on Dallas last year and like maybe Amir Coffey or one of them like shoots like PJ Washington did, right? Then they're a legit sleeper. And James Harden's one of the best passers I've ever seen. So he will put that ball where it needs to be. And as long as the shooters are hitting their shots, defense is good, half court's good, coaching's good. They're going to be very tough in any series as long as they're healthy.
Fourth in defense, 11th in net, 19th in offense, but Kawhi will be, knock on wood again, but Kawhi will be available, obviously, in the playoffs more often because there are no back-to-backs.
And game slows down, so I'm sure if you did only half-court offense, they would be better because there's so much transition in the regular season.
20th in pace, which I actually like from a playoff perspective.
Exactly.
Because it tells me you can win in the half-court, you can win in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
That's where Kawhi needs to excel. That's where, obviously, James Harden could excel also. Yeah, you've sold me. I agree with this. I also, like, I've very much enjoyed the Norman Powell season. I want to see him again because now it's an injury related thing. But I mean, one of the last games you saw him, he had 41 points. Granted, it was against Utah, but still, I think they're going to need that scoring punch. So we'll see how that sort of shakes out. But hopefully Bogdanović is rejuvenated. He hasn't had the greatest season this year. You know, it just wasn't a fit in Atlanta anymore.
Was never a fit in Atlanta, but he's been good since he's been on the Clippers.
Let me give you the Golden State case.
Go for it.
The case is really Jimmy Butler, but it's not just him, but it's what they've been able to do and how they've been able to play while he's there. I know they're not beating a ton of amazing teams. They'll have some better ones coming up before the end of the year. But Steph Curry has a little bit more of a freedom now. We've seen what Jimmy Butler could do in the playoffs. This year, he's more rested because he didn't really give a shit the first few months of the season. And defensively, he's not like the one-on-one defender that he used to be, because I mean, how could you be after all the injuries and also all the time we're talking about this being his 14th season? But as a team defender and as somebody who's a weak side defender who could just blow up plays, he's still very good at that when he's committed, and he's been committed here. Defensively, like I've always called them the NBA's Ed Reed because of how he can just play safety. And I think that element with him and Draymond Green in the playoffs could be special. I worry about what they're going to do at center. And some people have concerns about, okay, Jonathan Kuminga is about to come back. What's that going to look like? I actually think it could be very, very helpful. I don't know what
small balls.
Yeah, I don't know what it's going to look like on the defensive end.
Can you play Draymond 5, Kuminga 4, Butler 3, and go small ball?
I think matchup-wise, it's going to be a pain in the ass. Because they could do some things like that. Like, I do wonder, okay, if we're pulling up the standings right now with Golden State, and they have some role players that I like them to make plays in a, like, could Brandon Podziemski have a playoff game where he's just making plays role player style in a timely fashion?
Yes.
Like, you don't need 18, 10, and nothing like that. But could he make two threes with 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter? Or something along those
lines. Some Manu Ginobili type playoff impacts.
You know what I mean? So
yep.
Golden State right now is up to sixth. I think when they got Jimmy, they were like 11th.
I was about to say, Jimmy Butler saved their season. That's what they were trying to do. And hat tip to them, it worked, because I wasn't totally in on it on Jump Street, but I got to eat my words on that one.
Their first round series right now would be the Lakers.
Which, that's the one that I was going to go to, Brian. Like, you can see the Warriors beating the Lakers in a series, right?
Because not having a center won't kill them.
Right, exactly that. And there's just the variability of lack of cohesion on both. And yeah. So you might trust a coach like Steve Kerr to button up the cohesion, and a guy like Jimmy Butler, who's been in a lot of these situations, more so than heavy usage LeBron and Luka trying to figure it out with a coach of JJ Redick, who's his first year trying to figure it out with no center, with a little bit roster. They do have some roster holes, which they clearly tried to fill but couldn't. So I'd probably put Lakers in legit sleeper too. But yeah, I would say that's a coin flip series where Lakers are probably simply the favorite because they have home court advantage not because they're outwardly the better team. If Warriors were the three and Lakers were the six, I'm sure the Warriors would be favorites.
Golden State will get either Denver, the Lakers, or Memphis. Can you rank?
They don't want Denver.
That's the one.
I don't think they want Memphis either.
I don't think they want Memphis.
Because Memphis fucking wants them. You know, Memphis hates the Warriors. Shout out Dylan Brooks and all that stuff that went down.
I don't think they want Memphis either. I do think they could win that series. I wouldn't favor them, though. But Lakers are the one that they would want. You think Lakers are legit sleepers, not legit contenders?
They're not a legit contender. And I have a Lakers 40-1 ticket. That was my first bet of the offseason last June, right? Because I knew that they'd be around in the playoffs and that they're going to be dangerous to get through a few series and that they had the chance of, I thought it was going to be, you know, a Zach LaVine or De'Aaron Fox or Trae Young that they were going to target. I mean, if anyone out there thought it was going to be Luka Doncic, can you please tell me what stocks I should invest in? Who's going to win the title in 2029? Who's going to win the World Series in 2031? So I can get down on some futures already if you're that much of a savant.
Also, please tell me what stocks. Like,
exactly.
Like right now?
Right.
Right.
Who's like, the next company?
Honestly.
Like, where's the next Apple? Please.
Tell
me. If you knew that Luka was going to be traded, please let me know which penny stock is currently going to be the next Netflix.
Oh, my God.
So, I think Lakers are legit sleepers. I don't think they're a contender. It's too soon.
How do you think they match up with Denver and Oklahoma City?
Denver's the worst matchup for the Warriors.
No, the Lakers.
The Lakers? Oh, with Denver and Oklahoma City.
Yes, the Lakers with Denver and Oklahoma City.
Before
I toss them in the GC, they want Denver. Why do they want Denver? They don't have a center.
I know that Denver's just beat them in back-to-back playoff series, one of which was the most competitive sweep of all time. Remember that whole thing?
Air quotes, yes.
Right? And then the very next year, the Pacers sweep against Boston was like only an 11-point score differential through the four games and was actually the closest sweep of most competitive sweep of all time. The Lakers would like to get the little revenge on Denver, and they've always matched up well. Two of those games in the playoffs last year were game winners by Jamal Murray, and I think they had the lead in halftime at 4-5.
I think so.
And so there's a lot of, you have to just, especially in the betting sense, throw out the anomalous stuff. Like, not in my bankroll, but in my mind, Tyrese Halliburton did not hit that shot and win on a 4-point play against the Bucks. Like, the Bucks had that game, right? If I'm going to be handicapping the next one. So if I'm handicapping Lakers versus Denver, I think there's a series of games where there's just been a Lakers collapse, and now you get the closer in Luka Doncic to also come join. So I do think that's a... I actually would like to be taking... I'd be taking the plus the points. I'd be taking plus the money in that series if it came up, Lakers Nuggets.
I'm going to put Lakers on sleepers also. Yeah. I agree with that. It's tough also because I don't know what the groin injury for LeBron is going to mean. They're reporting that it's not as bad as it was before, but also like he's 40, not 41 yet.
40.
He's 40.
Stop aging, my man.
Yeah, no, he's still awesome, but I'll say the Lakers are.
So your listeners know I have a girl dog named LeBron.
Wow. I don't think I knew that. Okay.
I call her Bronny.
We have 16.
Like, you named your dog after LeBron's son? And I was like, no, that's not what happened. It just happened to be a girl. I thought I picked up a boy from the adoption place, brought it home. My girlfriend at the time goes, this dog doesn't have a penis. And I was like, oh, it's a girl. So we then changed the name from LeBron to Bronny. That's the story. It's real. It's very true. It's exactly how it played out.
That's amazing.
I was like, I didn't look.
Wait. You know
we
what?
We picked her up from like a big rescue event where there was all these dogs that had just been saved from a bad breeding situation and that they were all being brought to an animal rescue. And so there was like an event and we got there and it was chaotic and I just had to grab one. And so I grabbed one of them. And then I was like, oh, this dog's going to be too big. And I found the person that ended up taking him. And I was like, oh, I named this one LeBron. And they were like, oh, my God, that's such a good name. They named theirs Pierce after Paul Pierce.
I think this is going in the build-up sizzle reel once I make it.
Yeah, my next dog is going to be Giannis, and I'm going to have Yanni and Bronny.
Wow. I don't have a dog. I don't want to take care of one.
I want all of them.
Legit contenders, Cavs, obviously.
Cavs, Celtics, Thunder.
Is that the whole tier? Does Denver go in there? The Knicks are not there for me.
Out of respect for the best player in the league and a team that's won a championship together in this iteration, yeah. I do think Denver's the next one up. I mean, best player in the league and has won a championship. Are you talking about Giannis? No, I was talking about Jokic.
I can't call Denver a sleeper.
Exactly. That's well said. That's all that was needed. Sometimes Twitter only takes 140 characters. Sometimes Brian can sum it up. And I can't call Denver a sleeper.
No, well I can't call
Denver. Surprised if Denver wins a playoff series.
No.
Against any team. You're not. Whoa, that happened.
Milwaukee and the Knicks. Okay. I think there's three cats.
Who wins a playoff series between them before we go into it?
These teams could go in four categories. I'm not even joking. Actually, Milwaukee, if you want, you could put Milwaukee in any category here except who cares.
Whoa.
You could put them as an end of the road team if you want.
I know.
Because it's
there's a reason why ownership was selling, and there's clips of Giannis after the Luka trade going. I'm not going to do the Giannis accent. I would have done it on my own show. I won't do it on your show. There's clips of Giannis saying that he wants all the stars to be in LA. He wants all the stars to be in New York, all the European and foreign stars. Yeah. So when there's a Greek freak in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that doesn't fit the bill of what Giannis was saying that he wants to see in the league.
Milwaukee could be an end of the road team. They could be fun, but not contenders. I don't think that they're that much fun. I think Giannis is fun.
They could if everyone is injured, maybe.
Yeah. Is Milwaukee a legit? Diego says Bucks, Knicks, sleeper, I guess, which I think is correct.
Can we give the Minnesota Timberwolves just some company with Milwaukee there? Because I would be really surprised. Oh, it's so hard to say, but there would be a sense of me that is outwardly surprised if they beat the Celtics.
Okay. Right now, they're in a three-way tie for four with Indiana and Detroit. I think most people would suspect Milwaukee gets four or five.
Right.
That means you're getting Cleveland in the next round. And I do think, to put a touch of betting here, I do think there'll be some people, maybe more than some, being like, oh, Giannis against the Cavs? Like, I kind of want the Bucks there. You know what I mean? I think there'll be a good amount
Giannis
of that.
Giannis is a force. He's also playing the best basketball of his career. Like, I know he's won two MVPs and a finals MVP, and everyone's focusing on Jokic and SGA right now. But, like, let it be known that Giannis's basketball IQ is so high right now. He is playing I say that after he comes off of fouling Halliburton on a 4-point play at the buzzer, where the last thing that you could have done is jump, and it was the lowest IQ thing that Giannis has ever done in his career. That being said, not the best time to plug that one, but I do think Giannis is playing at peak. Like, this is the best I've ever seen him.
Also, other than the 3-point shooting,
his mind has reached what his physical can do.
He's not shooting threes.
Like, okay, I know he shot that one at the buzzer, but like. I think at All-Star break, he had 11 3-point attempts on the season. I haven't checked what it is yet right now, but like, he's not shooting threes. So it's just like, he's actually learning to, like, that's where the mentals are reaching up with his skills. Like, right. He's now being smart enough not to take those shots and to keep looking on the offensive possession for more attempts. Has he even shot 33-point attempts this season?
He's 8 for 43.
Okay.
19%. He leads the NBA in twos, both makes and attempts. 628 of 1,008, which is ridiculous. He's 62% from two. I do wish the free throw shooting was better, because that does worry me in the playoffs. It's 59%.
Missed a big one the other night.
He gets to the line a ton, so he needs to make those. The point of it is, and we'll wrap in a couple minutes, Milwaukee, if they play Cleveland in round two, I like Cleveland too much. Would I be stunned if Milwaukee won that series? I'd be pretty surprised.
It would take a heroic Dame and Giannis effort, right? Like, Giannis is putting up 30 and 16, and Dame is putting up 27 and 8.
Here's my question. Who has a better chance of beating Cleveland in a playoff series, Milwaukee or the Knicks?
Knicks.
Oh, that's an easy answer for you.
Easy.
Okay.
Easy.
Okay.
The one thing that could cause this Cavaliers team trouble is the physicality that New York has. And the Bucks
don't have as much of it now, I don't feel like.
True, but like we'll see if Mitch Robinson starts to ramp up more minutes, but like the way that the Knicks can just go at a team and the way that they hound rebounds, like Cleveland wins off of teams beating teams on the glass a lot, right? If the Knicks, they play the two big lineups, they had now added DeAndre Hunter, who's actually a Knicks killer historically. Like, look at DeAndre Hunter's game logs on the Hawks. Do you think that was an accident? Do you think that was an accident? Hell no. No. I think, what, 5 out of the last 7 games DeAndre Hunter has played the Knicks, he's over 20 points, and he was averaging like 12.
He knows the open spots on the floor.
Yes, right.
I don't know.
If the Knicks win the rebound, if they crush them on the glass, then they could win that series. Whereas Milwaukee only has that physicality in Giannis. Like, Dame and Brooke Lopez, Bobby Portis brings it, but Connaughton, Kuzma, those guys are not going to beat up the Cavaliers. Giannis will, but the Knicks will as a whole as well.
Bobby Portis might. I don't know if he'll do it on the court, but he might. Are the Knicks a legit sleeper?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. I think so, but I just
Boston is so good that but they're one injury away.
I don't think that's the thing.
But Boston injury could be Derek White. It could be Jalen Brown. Horford. It doesn't have to be Tatum.
The Knicks are almost, and if everyone is injured, maybe team, because I think Cleveland and Boston are just like so much better. And in terms of a matchup problem for them, and this is coming from some like I think Jalen Brunson, I think the world of him. Carl Anthony Towns has surprised me this year, but I'm still one foot in, one foot out on Carl Anthony Towns in terms of what he could do in a playoff series when it gets to round two, because like, is he going to be super reliable scoring the ball? Is he going to commit a stupid foul, which he tends to do in the playoffs? But I feel like the Knicks on a tier with Golden State, Lakers, Clippers, it kind of makes sense. I do think they're better than Milwaukee at this stage. If the Knicks were to play Milwaukee in a playoff series, which, look, that's not impossible. Like, if Milwaukee somehow falls to 6 and we get Knicks Buck, I don't know how great the Knicks are going to feel about that. Giannis in round one, but I would favor the Knicks there. And then I just think Cleveland or Boston beats them. But again, like, if you're a legitimate sleeper, it just means like you're, if Evan Mobley, knock on wood, but if something happens to Evan Mobley, he goes down, I feel like that opens things up for you now, because the main thing you don't want to have to overcome is just that Evan Mobley, Jared Allen combination on the inside. The guards are going to be a pain in the ass for Jalen Brunson, for Mikal Bridges, who hasn't had the best defensive season this year either. It just hasn't been great. But they're a legit sleeper. If there has to be one Eastern Conference sleeper, it's the Knicks. It's definitely the Knicks.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. It has to be the Knicks. Garland folds. Garland and Jared Allen have both folded in playoff series in the past. So they have a lot of proving themselves to do. So does Evan Mobley, because he's never really been there and done that. Like, it's proven it. Donovan obviously is playoff stamped, so he's good. But like, I've seen a lot of those guys whittle. And so, listen, we're getting in at an hour. If Fiddle has seen him whittle, you might have to fade him. Cavaliers, definitely contender. Knicks, a notch under them for sure. I would be surprised if that happened. But
I'd be surprised.
I wouldn't be. Yeah, exactly.
I'd be surprised if the Knicks beat the Cavs or the Celtics.
This is the hardest one to fit. If everyone is injured versus legit sleeper. They were a legit sleeper last year if everyone wasn't injured.
Yeah. I think we have this right. So legit contenders to wrap. Cavs, Celtics, Thunder, Nuggets. Those are your legit contenders, 2 in each conference. I think the best 4 teams in the NBA right now. Legit sleepers. We have Clippers, Warriors, Lakers, Knicks. I think if LeBron were healthy, I might call them legit contenders. But now I'm just like, I need to see how this looks without him for a little bit. If everyone's injured, maybe Minnesota, Milwaukee. So a couple more injuries and perhaps fun teams, but not contenders. Pistons, Pacers, Grizzlies, Magic, Rockets. I think the trajectory is going up on each of these teams, each of these organizations. Memphis, I'm a little more cloudy on just because we've seen the team, but they have some young pieces I think could really push them. I don't know what the Ja Morant piece looks like in the future, but I do think people are getting a little too low on Memphis.
I was going to say, if Memphis is the one team there that could possibly slide up to if everyone is injured.
Yeah. And I almost want to do that, but
yeah,
we're going to leave it here. End of the road, Pelicans, Sixers, Suns, Heat, Kings. It's rebuild time for all of these teams. It should be, at least. But I think at least one or two teams are going to talk themselves into potentially running it back. Maybe more. And then who cares? The Hawks, the Nets, the Hornets, the Bulls, the Spurs, the Raptors, the Jazz, the Wizards, the Trailblazers, and the Mavs. The Mavs would be a legitimate sleeper for me if they were healthy, but they are not. All right. That is our show. Hopefully people watch this later on. Thank you to the people who did. We are continuing to build out this channel. And yeah, that's all we have. Michael Fiddle, anything you want to say to the people before we get out of here?
I appreciate you having me on. I hope we can do it again. I saw yesterday, to bring it back to betting and swing us out of here, I did see yesterday that after OKC beat the Boston Celtics, now for the second time this season, and take that series 2-0, the OKC Thunder are equal in the futures odds with Boston Celtics to win the title. And now we've just done that exercise where we see how we have like seven teams that are either contenders or fringe contenders, sleeper contenders, right? So those are on the like seven in the West and maybe like two in the East. So you see how much easier the path is for the Boston Celtics to reach the finals than it is for the perceived Western side. So that means what the books have just said. As the OKC Thunder closed as a +3, and you value home court advantage and flipping it about 4 points, the books are telling us OKC Thunder are the best team in the NBA and would be a favorite in that series should those teams make the finals.
I don't know how I feel about that yet, but
yep, it happened. Yes, that change happened yesterday.
If they shoot better against Dallas, Oklahoma City, I don't know if they'd have a title right now, but they have a Western Conference banner.
Yes, I agree.
That's what I think. All right, we're getting out of here. Thank y'all for watching. We'll talk again very soon.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.